for meeting with us. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you that you come in the last minute sometimes in our distress. Lord, when we put our flesh down and we get our eyes on you, that's what it's all about, Lord, that we learn to listen to your voice, that we learn to follow your Holy Spirit. Thank God for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth, Lord. You're trying to show us the truth, Lord. Teach us, open up our eyes. Help us to be patient, Lord, in everything that's going on around us, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Bless your holy name, Lord, for easing, giving us peace of mind, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Glorify your name. Thank you for your word that we stand on. Gives us a root, gives us strength, gives us power, gives us stability in our lives, Lord. So I just thank you today. And it's so important that the Holy Spirit guide you, direct you. I needed him a couple last week. For the first time on my job, I always kind of feared walking in on somebody that had passed away. And it happened a couple weeks ago at a property where they must have fell asleep or something because they started cooking on a oven or cooking on the stove and smoke started coming out of the room door and everybody was smelling it in the building. So sure enough, I got the guy that had the key to get into the room and it was so full of smoke, but this tenant that I've met a few times, he was just laying there and he was gone by then. But just my heart, you know, my flesh started just kicking in, getting nervous, my heart started pounding. But see, here's where the important part of the Holy Spirit comes in. And the prayer language start kicking in. And sometimes your flesh, your fleshly nature that we have, doesn't know how to handle certain situations. So our spiritual better kick in. And this happened, a young man called me a while back, lost his job, his car broke down, he was ready to blow up at anybody that came around him, he was ready to just kill somebody. I said, you better get your spiritual to start kicking in so your flesh don't take you over. So how important it is for you and I to be walking in the Spirit individually. We can come to church and put on a good show and look good before everybody, but when we get out in the real world and we come and see tragedies or something happens in your life and you're not ready for it, or you're just not in that spiritual mode, it's going to take you over. But in this particular instance I just felt the peace of God come over me. Because the other guy, he couldn't even dial 911. He's shaking so bad, and I kept telling him to go get everybody out of the building because it's a 12-unit building with tenants in it. So the Lord just calmed me down, and I got a hold of 911 and was able to talk calmly with them and tell them what was going on. But if it wouldn't have been for the Holy Spirit kicking in and helping me, I just wanted to run, get out of that situation and not deal with it. But in our life, especially what we see coming on in this world, and the way things are happening, I think we're going to have to be stronger than what our flesh can handle. Our spiritual lives have to be so strong and in tune. But that song was so powerful. There's so many voices out here, and we want music on all the time. We always have to have noise, it seems like. But that quietness is where the Spirit of God speaks to us and teaches us. And so it's in those times of need that we need to be in tune. Just like getting that radio station in tune, we need to get ourselves in tune with the Holy Spirit. And it's like it takes time. Ann's been doing communion on her own when I can't do it for her healing. And it's a persistent thing that you do no matter what you feel or no matter if the enemy's giving you negative thoughts. Oh, you're not going to have more. You're going to stay the same. Nothing's going to change. But you're kicking the devil in the rear when you do those things, when you read your word, when you pray, when you witness, when you take a stand for him, he'll come in and answer what you have need of. And sometimes we do not know. In our marriage life, when we look back, it was like the last minute we were in a desperate situation and God would show up. He was just saying, how far are you going to test me? How far can I take you? Just like Job. Job could have gave up. Everybody else gave up on the guy. His wife, his kids, his friends was telling him how bad he was. You're doing something wrong, Job. But no, he stood on what he knew in his heart and his relationship that he had with God. Nothing was going to shake him, even if it did come to death. And I'll tell you, just the more I hear what's going on out here and the things, it should put the fear of God in us. And the big scripture that I've been thinking about lately is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Meaning, don't think your salvation is based on anybody else. You're not going to get into heaven through somebody else. It's going to be between you and him. Me and him, me and him. I'm not going to judge anybody else of their relationship. But I want to encourage everybody. I want to encourage everybody to make sure your relationship with him is strong. Went to the first baseball game in my whole life, the Brewers game, 40,000 people there. We could have fit the city of Freeport in there. You know, when I stopped to think about that. And, you know, there's power in numbers. But when you get by yourself, you can feel a little intimidated, you know. But we need to come before God just like we're a powerhouse. We're a powerhouse as an individual. So I just had to get that off my shoulder. So, but, and then, the lesson I've been, oh, here's another thing I was thinking about. I just finished a book by a Christian author that the more I read the book, it was just bashing everybody else, all other Christian ministers and preachers, and throughout the whole book, it was just a put-down of somebody else. So it's like we have to be careful what we read, what we study, because everybody has an opinion. Everybody says it's this way or the highway, and we were under a church like that. Either you were on the train with us or go. You're not a part of us just because they believed a certain way. And that's what I want to emphasize. You learn the Word. The Bible is available for every one of you and I. I don't need some other person to be that Holy Spirit for me. I have to be the one. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. Study to show thyself approved. A workman. Me, not somebody else. So there's so many, you know, when Pastor Steve wasn't, he didn't get into heavy doctrine and, you know, try to cause controversy and debates, because I think he understood you search the Scripture for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. And that's where your relationship stands. So this morning, so I was going to study, you know, and go, and I've been thinking about change and what it takes to change. So I got through the first one, which was curiosity. Like if you think of a child, 2-year-old child, they come into your house, what do they want to do? They're into everything. They're so curious. And we have a couple grand dogs come over to our house. They are sniffing everything. They're looking for the littlest crumb that we've dropped. Just into everything. But that's good. That's cool. And that's something that we need in our life is curiosity, because it gets me to say, Lord, what does your word say about this? I'm curious. I want to know. Teach me about this, Lord. So that's one of the first things that we need to change things in our life, is that we have a curiosity of what to learn. I want to learn something new. And since I've been on this job, there's a website called How Things Work. It's wonderful. If you want to know how a refrigerator works, how a motor works, or a furnace works, I can just go to YouTube and watch somebody work on something that I need to know about and do it. And I read of a woman and her single mom and her kids built a house from YouTube videos on how to build a house, how to put it together. And she did it with her kids all by herself. So that's curiosity. And curiosity, isn't that statement, killed the cat too or something? You can get in trouble too if you go too far with it. So we have to know where the boundaries are. And our boundaries are right in the Word. Whether you carry it on your phone or it's in your heart already memorized, it's there to help you and help you in your walk. So then, Thursday, we read a daily devotion. And that's just, hey, some days it jumps out at me and I get it. And then some days it's just a return. It's a habit, which is a good one. So anyway, this one, you know, I like allegories and I like word pictures a lot, because Jesus used them a lot. But this one in particular, it spoke to our church. And it's called A Hole in the Ship. Come along, my friend. Join me in an allegory that compares the church to a ship. We are brothers and sisters in this vessel whose captain, we know, is Jesus Christ, who lives in us. He's got to lead us and guide us, not only individually, but as a church. And I'm thankful for Kathy, too, stepping out, listening to that still small voice that leads us and guides us you know, a member of the family. Okay. He is guiding his faithful church safely over the ocean of life toward heaven's harbor. But someone else has other plans. Who are we fighting against? Like that scripture came to mind this morning. We fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers in the air that you don't even see sometimes that come to torment you. Lo, off to the starboard lies a threatening vessel shrouded in the midst of deception. It's the enemy warship. And I took it right down to my family, me as an individual, relate it. Dark and ugly, it plows through the rising waves as it races to intercept us. Quickly, we prepare for battle, all right? We all know the power of Satan's fiery darts. Were it not for the shields of faith surrounding our ship, we would have no chance. So it's putting all that armor on us, guarding us. But as our foe approaches, the way is no longer clear. The chilly wind has brought a heavy bank of fog, and our faith wavers. Does your faith waver sometimes? When we get to that point of desperation, or sickness, or hurts, pains, the enemy tries to put fear in us. All right? We forget that our pilot can see through the mist. Sometimes we can't, but Jesus can. As we debate which is the best direction to travel, made me think of our board meetings. You know, hey, we're thinking of the best direction to go. Opinions fly and tempers flare. Soon, shields are turning inward, raised defensively against one another. See, the enemy, that he starts dividing us. Suddenly, a brother sounds an alarm. The ship has been hit. Water trickles in. A sinister flame licks along the rail. Christ surveys the commotion and raises the hands pierced so long ago. Convicted, we turn the words of reconciliation and reposition our shields to protect each other. And as a family, we have to protect each other. When we hear of somebody in need, when we hear somebody sick, that's where we have to stand in the gap. Protect each other. Humbly, we patch the hole in our understanding. The mist clears and we pull away from our foe, the enemy, rejoicing. Are we unified with our spiritual family, the church? As we work together, let's always remember we have an enemy, but it is not each other. We have an enemy, but it's not Chris, not Renee, it's not Henny, not Roger. No, the enemy's trying to divide us. But you're not the enemy. We are defeated if we are divided, but victory certain if we heed Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 4:3, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There it is. And I believe that we do that. I believe that we do that as a family and as a board and leaders. So I want to encourage you today. We do have an enemy. What's that mean? That means you and I have to get stronger than the enemy. We have to think stronger than him. We have to get that word in our heart. And everything we do, walk in obedience. And we're going to fall. We're going to fall once in a while, but we get back up. Just like that child. All right, let me pray and then we'll close. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement on our lives, teaching us. Help us to be open. Help us to be curious to what you have for us. We need more and more and more of your power and more and more and more of your direction. And so we give you all the glory today. Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.